Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by a thousand miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a definitely not metal edition of Gaming Uncensored. And we'll talk about where that intro came from. We used to be metal. We are no longer metal.
We are not.
And of course, Tommy's sitting over there. What's on the show this week, sir?
Slater would not approve.
No, he would not.
we'll talk about some games because we got games to talk about. So we'll do that here in a little bit. We also got some new, lots of Nintendo news, lots of everybody news, really. Fun news from Nintendo with a Star Fox game we'll talk about. It's coming back. And then a whole bunch of like not fun stuff with prices going up and down across everybody.
Yeah,
like
just
everybody, it's everywhere. And so it's like your like semi-monthly update of what's more expensive and what's not selling well, because that's what it feels like the gaming industry is at this point. So we'll get into all that as well. Plus, I don't know if you've seen this. We'll make sure a new cast member for Fallout Season 3. That's a fun one. So I'll leave that one as a cliffhanger.
All right.
The show. So that's the plan.
As I usually do, like I should have been paying more attention. But as you and I were talking about, I've had adulting stuff, and I have not been in my house as I am accustomed to being. And you have had some serious adulting stuff.
Yeah.
So if at any point in the next hour and 15 minutes or so, we seem a little grumpy, because we are.
Yes.
We need this, because otherwise we might actually choke somebody.
Yes, that is 100% fair. My 2.5-year-old little boy has his grumpy face now that he gets into when he gets mad. I call him Grumpopotamus, and so we are Grumpopotami today.
It is
Grumpopotamus Gaming Uncensored today. So
there's gonna be a little bit of there always is on this show anymore, but there is gonna be a little bit of get off our lawn type thing going on, because the two games that we are both very interested in right now are very old school.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to talk about that.
Yes. Yeah. For sure. Before we get into all that, we do need to thank the Patreon guys. Thank you, Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavosh, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, Sam, Andrew, Luik, Logan, Liz, Jordan, Gio, and Derek. As always, if you want to support us on Patreon, we would love that. Go by GamingUncensored.com. Click that Become a Patron link. Because being an adult is expensive and sucks. And like, we've been adults for a long time. Like, we have been adults significantly longer than we were kids. But man, playing mixtape, we'll talk about more here in a little bit. I'm like, dang it. Wish I was a kid. Kids are great, other than when you have them. And then they're a nightmare and great and all the things. But when you're a kid, you don't have to worry about adult stuff, because adult stuff sucks.
So here's the thing. Let's just say, before we get really, really grumpy, we say this on occasion, But we realize that we are extraordinarily blessed to have what we have, everything that we have, we are extraordinarily blessed and thankful for, because there's a lot of folks out there that do not have what we have, and we are well aware of that, but it doesn't make the adulting any better.
This is right.
So there's that. And now we're going to be grumpy.
But we get to also be grumpy about something else that isn't about adulting. It's about video games, which is fun. So, that's a good time. I like doing that. So, should we talk about some games we've been playing? Because there's a bunch of mention, because it's been a long time since we've done a show. And so there's just a whole bunch of stuff in there that's worth mentioning. Let's save Mixtape for just a little bit, because it's the most kind of recent one.
Right.
I'll mention just really briefly one that I've put some time into that had some discussion over on the Discord as well, and so I want to mention it here because it's pretty cool too. Is Replaced on Game Pass. That's going to be a theme as well, like games on Game Pass. But I've been
I need to download that. I don't know if it's doable. It looked like it might be.
Yeah, it's. I would be curious for your experience with it, because it is like side scrolling, a little bit of platformer, but there is kind of some beat 'em up elements to them to it, and I don't know how that will translate mouse and keyboard wise. I would be interested. You should download it just so we know, because I'm curious about how it translates. It's really cool. It's a cool style. Like, that's really kind of maybe the biggest selling point. Like, it's a kind of genre that I like, in the like dark platformer, not really Metroidvania, but that side scroller, like Limbo and Inside, those kind of games. Shadow Complex, which is more Metroidvania than some of those, but that kind of thing. But it's like pixel graphics, and it's this dystopian post-apocalyptic AI infiltrating this person kind of thing, and trying to navigate this kind of barren world outside the city and figuring out how to get back in. All this stuff is, it's cool, it's fascinating, it's dark, it's heavy, and it's very, very pretty in this pixel graphic kind of style, if that's your thing, which I did, because it does remind me of, you know, games from when we were young, and there's going to be a lot of nostalgia on today's show, so just prepare yourself. But it does have that nostalgia factor to it, while also feeling modern and current, and just having that kind of balance that works really well. The story is interesting, but really it's a style that kind of sells, and the gameplay is fine. It plays fine. It's not like a terrible gameplay game, but it's really like, if you like the style, you're probably going to dig the game. If it's not your aesthetic, it's not a whole lot other there that's going to necessarily rescue it.
So I actually watched a little bit of it because Sam said something about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been back and forth to the country. And when I go to the country, there's not much I can do, because all I have is phone. And can we say that what you can do on the phone these days is quite amazing?
Yeah. Isn't it?
I don't really have anything that resembles a computer setup except for a 13-year-old Mac. So not a lot of work type stuff happening there.
Sure.
And so I did fire up a little bit of Replaced, and I'm very interested in it. I will say this, and this is, I think, just part of, you know, having a 4K screen and fine resolution and all of that. The reason that I didn't watch all of Replaced, because it's a short game, it's not a long kind of a situation. The reason I did not do that was because I had a hard time reading the text on the screen.
Like,
the text is small, and it's one of those that, you know, you need to be right in front of the monitor because there's a lot of text.
Yeah.
So that's one reason that I haven't watched all the way through that. I don't know what the fix is there, because People of Note sort of has the same issue.
Yeah.
it's not really designed for a 2K monitor. And it shows in that spot. And there are several games that are like that. And yeah. And I know some of you are out there are like, well, don't be old. But like, that's the thing, we're old.
Yeah, it's good advice, but it's a little impractical at this point. We are past that. It is an interesting point of just some of these games that we're playing recently that there is like a lot of more text based stuff.
Yes,
that there's a lot of stuff we're doing that's not voice. Like people of note is partially voiced.
Yes,
but a lot of it's not, and so you're still reading a lot of text. And so it's definitely interesting just kind of where those games land. I'm also in the middle of like four different games, all of which one of the appealing things to me were that they were short. Like, oh, that's a short game. That's great. Oh, I can play this. It's a short game. And now I'm just in the middle of all of them. And so it's just like playing one long game. Like I haven't done anything that has got me around playing something that's long. Just instead of being dedicated to playing a single game, I am now playing multiple games that are all, you know, like 10 hours or less, but still putting all that time in. So I'm still doing like 50-hour game experience across the board here, which is kind of dumb, but also fun. It's fun playing a lot of different games and kind of bouncing around between them.
Okay, so I got to say this about People of Note. People of Note is awesome. I'm glad that you purchased it for me for my birthday. Thank you for that, sir. Mm-hmm. It's an awesome birthday present. However, on the last show, you talked about being in the desert. And as cool as People of Note is, it's not really that thing that I like fired up and I went, this. Like, it's really cool and I'm going to finish it. Yep. I'm going to get through it. I'm going to be happy I played it. And part of the reason that I don't feel that way is that there's a lot of JRPG aspects to it. And I love JRPGs if they are the right JRPGs.
Uh-huh.
This is not that, if that makes sense. Like, the story is okay, but it's not something that is compelling. I will say that I fired up Mixtape for a couple of hours, and I immediately went, yeah, this is what I've been looking for, you know, since basically Clair Obscur. Like, it's this, and I can't really tell you what this is, but it is that thing, and I'm going back to my parents today because issues, and I'm really sad because Mixtape, I could just sit in front of it and play until it was over, and then I would probably play it again. And the thing about Mixtape, and I don't, we can wait to get into it if you want to, but like, there's not, it's not gameplay heavy.
No,
it's like that Dragon Slayer kind of a thing. And I don't know what it is that I love about those, but they always make me feel this way. Those type of games always make me feel this way. And I'm curious about your thoughts about what that is, because I know enough about you to know that you feel the same way. Like, you fire it up and you just get this warm, fuzzy feeling, and Retro Rewind is the same way. It's the same.
Yeah. Let me mention on Retro Rewind real quick, because I don't think we've had a show since, I mean, it's been a long time since we had a show. I level capped on it. So I have like all the expansions to my store and two employees, and it basically runs itself at this point, all that, which is, again, dumb and ridiculous, but it's such a good just like passive, like multitasking kind of game that you don't have to pay a lot of attention to, whereas like Mixtape is just the opposite. Like, it requires your full attention. Yeah. Time you're interacting with it, which is great, and I I dig it. It's not doing that same thing for me, though. I'm still in the desert with all these games that I'm playing. They're all good. None of them are great to me. None of them have made me go, oh, okay, this is what I've been waiting for. This is what I've been looking for. Even Mixtape, which I'm putting everything else aside. Of all the games I've played recently, is the one that has gone closest to that for me, and so I'm going to play through it before I pick up anything else. But it's still, I don't know why it's not quite doing that for me. So it's pure nostalgia.
Yeah.
Which is part of it we love. It's like, I've heard several people make the comparison at this point that it's just playing a John Hughes movie, you know, and we grew up with that. And so it's just like pure, like, 80s, 90s nostalgia. It's music. It's great music in the game. Like, the music's great fantastic. Music. Stuff we grew up with. The idea of making mixtapes and burning CDs and everything that's kind of part of it is, like, all... And all that's great. And I don't hate the story or the characters or anything like that. I find it all interesting and intriguing or whatever. There's just something that it's not quite... Like, I just don't quite have the connection to it that I want to, in part because it doesn't look anything like my childhood. And so, like, it's nostalgic for me in so far as, oh, yeah, this is what pop culture was like when I was young. But it's not what my childhood was like, you know? And so there's that, like, I don't know, a little bit of a disconnect in that for me.
I will say I agree, because for me, it's about the controls. Like, it's doable, but it's not comfortable.
Yeah,
like I just want to, like, sit in front of it and not have to think. And because I'm on mouse and keyboard, and they didn't make it for mouse and keyboard, like Mixtape is not a mouse and keyboard game. It's a controller game. Yeah. So is People of Note. There is no doubt about that with either one of them. You can play them on a mouse and keyboard, but it's not comfortable at all. And a couple of times when I was on the skateboard, and I ran into things, I'm like, wait, why did I run into things? I'm like, oh yeah, because the mouse doesn't do anything. I gotta be over here. But to actually, the mouse does things, but it does things in a weird way. And so I agree 100% with what you were saying. If the controls were right, I would be 1,000% in.
I'm going to push back. I mean, I don't know. Apologies for trying to put words in your mouth here. But just, like, it's such a controls don't matter game. Because, like, I run into That's stuff true. On the skateboard, too. Like, yeah. On a controller. Like, I'm like, ah, because it just doesn't control well. Because it wasn't built for that. Like, it's not built for controller really either, insofar as it's not built for gameplay, which is a weird thing to say about a video game, right? But, like, truly, it's not built for gameplay. There's nothing in this game that you're like, oh, I love how that feels, or what the, you know, like, that's not it. There are these skating elements to the game that pop up multiple times, and you're kind of cruising down, and you got a jump button, and you can do some tricks. But it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't do anything. And you can run into a car accidentally again, which I do all the time, too. And I'm playing it on a controller. And it just rewinds you with this cool little animation. You just keep going. Like, it just doesn't have any significance at the end of the day to the game, right? Like, it really doesn't matter much at all. The whole thing is the narrative and the exploration part of it, and kind of finding little secrets. And that kind of stuff is fun. And so, like, the walking simulator aspect of it is cool. So at the end of the day, that's more or less what it is, right? Like, it's very much like Firewatch or something along that lines, which are games we love. And again, I'm saying this in a way, I'm really digging Mixtape. I want to make that clear, even though it's not quite scratching the itch I need scratched right now, if that makes sense. It's really good, and I'm really, really enjoying it. But it is, like, know what you're getting into with it. If you're looking for a game that's going to be, like, fun with a controller in your hand, this is a game that, like, I just put the controller down for 10 minutes at a time while stuff is playing out, and I'm like, oh, right, I got to walk forward and hit a button now to get the next cutscene going, because that's basically all you do in the game. Like, and it's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. There's games like that that we love, and I think this is going to be one of those games like that that we end up digging quite a bit. But they're just, don't go into it expecting any kind of gameplay that's going to be like really interesting or fun. There's been a few sequences of like, this has just gone on too long. I don't know if you've gotten to like the running through the field and
flying around.
Like that sequence? I was like, I don't need this. This is fine. Well, but like, you just took 5 minutes of my time doing something that wasn't fun to play and didn't give me any narrative. Like, those are the only things that I'm looking for, and you're not giving me really anything fun to play in this game. Again, I'm not saying that as a pejorative, but like, just putting that in there, like the running and jumping through the field and watching them like float around.
Well, and it's like, okay, so I don't paint this because I did play that last night. I got to the Ritz.
Nice.
I did the part with the house, and now I'm to the point where you're going to the other person's house to get them to go find the booze, and like I'm there. I played enough of it to get there, and after I played that part, I came out of my office, and I told Peyton, I was like, this game is great. Because it was made by a lot of people that took a lot of drugs when they were kids, and they're trying to recreate that. And that's what that fuel thing is.
Yeah.
It's the wonderfulness of an endless summer. That's what they were trying to get across.
100%.
You know.
But it's, at least for me, it just didn't land. Like, and it, again, this is the disconnect of this game for me. It's very slight spoilers here, but like, prepare yourself for if you haven't played it. It just happens at the very beginning of the game. But it was the moment that was like, oh, this game is really going to be for me. Oh, this game, I don't know. Which was, you go into her bedroom, you pick up the cassette tape, you have to rewind it with a pencil. And I'm like, oh my goodness. It is an interactive thing. You spin the joystick, you rewind the tape. But like, I was like, that's it. And I'm like, I'm into this. And then like 2 minutes later is the French kissing minigame, right?
Yeah.
Like, and I was like, oh, no, this is not what I need from this. Okay, and it just was viscerally gross. And like, I couldn't stand it. And I was just like, I need you to find like more the other side of this, which gratefully, it has been almost all the other side of the tape rewinding and not more of the weird French kissing minigame. But that was too much.
Let me just bring that up. And this is some this is inside baseball with Gaming Uncensored. But you are not a PDA guy. Even remotely, even a little bit, like
no.
I don't know that I have ever seen you in the 20 years that I've known you. I don't know that I've ever seen you hug another human. Okay,
besides my wife.
And
that is, you know, on occasion.
Yeah, I mean, like that. You're just not that guy.
No,
so
I am not at all.
When I saw that, I was like, yeah, this is gonna trip him out.
Yeah.
That's really funny. because I will say this. I love when I got to that point, I was like, oh, this is weird. And then at the bottom, there's a button that says, that's enough.
Yep.
And I was like, that's really funny because that was Stacy's attitude.
Yes.
About that whole segment was like
100%.
That's enough. and it made me laugh.
Yes.
But yeah, I get your point.
The game is like, I love the writing in it, even though it is super pretentious. Like, it's like, you know, like, again, this is in some ways the parts of it that I kind of cringe at, because it's in some parts like, it's the personalities that I really detested when I was in high school, of like just being superior to everybody kind of thing. Like, it's like those kind of kids that are like the punk kids that think like everybody else sucks and whatever. And like, again, they do a really good job of it.
I hate Jenny. What's Jenny? She says good speed.
Yeah.
Jenny good speed. I hate Jenny good speed. And like
that little cutscene of why she hates Jenny good speed, of whenever she was like, I don't really care about the soundtrack. And the response is, okay, I know everything I need to know about you. You know? Yeah. It's just like that I hate her. It was really funny. And there's just a lot of that. Like, it's really well written, and it's the voice acting is pretty good. It's like, yeah, like there's a lot of really fun stuff to it. It is funny. Like, and again, it is like a John Hughes movie. Like, it that's what you grew up with, and you like relate to that. And I do. Like, I love Ferris Bueller's Day Off. And yes. I love, you know, like we grew up.
16 Candles.
Yes, 16 Candles. Yeah. Like on and on. Like we grew up with this stuff, and I dig it. And it's like playing a movie like that. And that's great. And I love it for that. And it does that really well. And so I'm looking forward to playing the rest of it. In so far as you play any of it, because again, most of it's just walking around and interacting with items and a few puzzles here and there, a few interactive elements here and there, but most of it's just enjoying Slater, who I love. Slater is just a fantastic character. Yeah. I think Slater is great, and so he is by far my favorite character so far in this, and so it is, yeah. I recommend it, but know what you're getting into, and it's definitely not going to be for everybody. It's like an 85 on Metacritic, I think, or something like that, but it's one of those 85s that's like a lot of people give it 100 and a lot of people give it like a 60, right? Like, it's not like everybody's like, this is an okay game. It's like super polarizing, and either you really dig what because it's trying to do, or
because it's not a game.
That's the thing. Okay. it is a game in like the most basic sense of the term. But that's, again, that's not a bad thing. It's a fun experience. I'm digging it. But it is, you know, just know what you're getting into with it for sure.
I think I'm gonna have fun with it. I'm really looking forward to seeing where it goes. Because you're right, I love those movies. The Breakfast Club's another one.
Yeah,
like this reeks of the Breakfast Club.
It really does. Like, it has that energy.
Yeah, and so sure. I'm really interested to see where it goes, and I'm glad that you said something, and thank you for always getting my head out of my butt. Like, if you're not, because basically what happens is I get a text from Tommy that's like, if you're not paying attention, you just take Game Pass and you need to watch some Star Fox, and you're like, because you're right, I'm not paying attention. Like, we haven't been on the air in 3 weeks. Like, I'm like, and I feel bad about that. I'm really grateful that you mentioned that, because I would have just missed it.
Yeah, and I mean, we've got our blind spots for sure. And so we also appreciate everybody that posts stuff on Discord. Yes. I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. Replaced came into my awareness because of Discord, and Sam posted on Discord about Replaced. I was like, oh yeah, I was looking forward to that game, and now it's here. I need to go pick this up. Yes, I definitely hear you there. We'll get into Star Fox. I'll mention really quick, because this is part of the Star Fox discussion. Went and saw Super Mario Galaxy with the little girl.
I'm so jealous. Pretty cool.
It's good. It's not nearly as good as the first Mario movie, but it's fun. It's a good time, and it has Star Fox in it, which is fun. Like, Star Fox plays a pretty big role in the movie, and so it's ridiculous and over the top, but we had a good experience, and little girl enjoyed going to the movies and seeing that. So I would recommend that again as a like, don't expect much out of it, but like, if you like Mario and just what, like, Nintendo and just what Easter eggs and ridiculousness and Jack Black back as Bowser are being over the top and all that stuff, like, it's all that, and so it's fun in that
way. I probably, if I was a good co-host for this show, I probably should have gone and seen that instead of going to see what I saw.
What'd you see?
I seen you a text. I went and saw Michael. And I don't regret that at all. that was a good time. And that's one of those that is a polarizing movie, because
a polarizing person.
Yeah, I mean he is. And I have talked to multiple people that said they really liked it. I really liked it, because if you know what it is, which is a movie, it's not historical, it's not a documentary, it's a movie. And it's a good movie. It's not factual, other than the performances. You know, if you know what it is, it's great. And it's it's going to make $1 billion at the box office. Because, and that, the reason I wanted to bring this up, what I loved about it, and when I knew it was going to be huge, because I went and saw the day after it came out, because I was like unsure, because like I love Michael, I love his music, I like as much as you can know the guy, which is not very well. I like the guy. I've always liked Michael my whole life. But this, I was sort of like unsure about what I was going to get. So I went into it and got the biggest screen and the best speakers that you could get. You know, I paid the extra money and I did not regret it. But the thing that got me about that was that I was sitting up at the top in the biggest theater that we have in town. And there were other people there. And when it started and we got to the music, I could hear people below me singing and dancing in the theater. Like, I saw people get up and they're like moving. And I'm like, this is the coolest thing.
Yeah.
And that's why that movie is going to make so much money, because people are just getting up in the theaters and just having a good time. And so I should have gone to see Super Mario instead, but that's what I did. So yeah,
that's fair. Nothing wrong with that. Good experience here. Again, Mario will be fine when it comes to streaming as well. It's not something you have to see in the theater. So it was a fun experience there. But all that to say, Star Fox does show up in it, which was very much intentional on Nintendo's part to then help sell a Star Fox game, which has now been officially announced. Nintendo did a Star Fox Direct just about a new Star Fox game, which I say new here.
With
a little bit of hesitation, because it's not really new.
No.
As really no Star Fox? I mean, there are Star Fox is such a weird franchise, in part because, like, it we're old enough to remember this. Star Fox in its original form on the Super Nintendo was just about awesome tech.
Yes.
Like, the reason that Star Fox was cool when it
demo.
First... It was an amazing tech demo because it was a 3D game before 3D games existed, really. It was a precursor to what they would do with the N64, and then we see Star Fox come back on the N64, which we'll obviously talk about here in a second because that's what this new Star Fox is, essentially. But, like, it was a precursor to what Nintendo is going to be able to do with the N64. It had the super graphics. What was that? What I don't remember what it was called. But it had the sticker on the cartridge of whatever the chip was.
Fast processing. What's the other one? 3DFX.
3DFX. Yeah. And, like, it was such a big deal, and, like, it was so cool. And the Super Nintendo version, I adored and played the heck out of it. And then it came out again on the 64, and the 64 version of Star Fox was essentially just the Super Nintendo version of Star Fox again with, like, some more stuff to it. But, like, it wasn't, like, a sequel. And then, like, Star Fox has had other iterations along the way, but, like, it's such a weird franchise, right? That it's, like, just built around, like, this Star Fox character, the flight kind of combat thing, and then, like, the banter, because that was the thing about the N64 version of it that was such a big deal, is that there was voice to it, and you had, like, this banter with these other characters, and like, that was, like, pretty revolutionary for the time. Again, something that's super common today, but was pretty big at that point. And so, like, for us growing up, Star Fox was a big deal, in part because it was such a technically innovative franchise, even if, and I'm going to say this with maybe holding my breath a little bit, the games are kind of mid, right?
Yeah.
Like, is that fair? Like, they're fine. They're fine.
Okay,
but there's better flying games out there.
Yeah.
There's better characters than Star Fox. Like, I just, they're fine. And like, that was part of what I'm getting to here with this. It's like, I'm both like, oh, cool, Star Fox, because Star Fox holds such a special part in my childhood. And again, because we're old now, and that's what people do, is just sell us nostalgia, which is all we've been talking about so far, essentially. Like, that part of me, like, instantly perked up. My little nostalgia nerve went, yay, Star Fox, you know? Like, it's, like, super pumped. And I'm like, But when, like, he's telling me what the game is, like, it's basically just a remake of Star Fox 64 with additional cutscenes and, like, updated graphics, which is fine. But in 2026, like, you could make a really cool, like, deep Star Fox game, I would imagine. And instead, we're going to seemingly mostly get the gameplay of a game that came out 25 years ago.
Okay.
Right? And that is like, ah!
Yeah, and I agree 1,000%. I'm going to say something that's going to surprise you, because I agree with everything you just said. But all of that said, Nintendo is hoping, and I think it will be, a system seller for the Switch.
Mm-hmm.
This is the system seller for the Switch 2. It is, whether you like it or not, because I'm thinking about all of the people that, and one of them is in my living room right now, that don't know what Star Fox is. Like, those people are going to think that's the coolest thing. And I think it's going to move systems. I agree with everything that you said, and I wish I can remember the girl's name, but there was a girl that I posted on the Discord several months ago that was talking about that Nintendo was just basically robbing from us because they're reselling the same nostalgia
right.
that they have sold since their inception. They don't really do anything new. They don't really innovate anymore. And that was the point of her video. And it's all true. And the thing that I found interesting was the face technology with the camera. Like, that's... If people are willing to get a neck cam and try that out, that's some of that Nintendo technology that will other companies will look at and go, hey, that's pretty cool. And they might try it and it'll probably fail. Like, it's not the coolest thing ever. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that's a very Nintendo thing.
Yes. It's 100% Nintendo, what you're referring to here, just in case people haven't seen it. And go by the show notes, gamingandsister.com. You can see a trailer and everything else there. But there's, you know, a thing where you could superimpose the characters, like, over your camera. And so it'll mimic your facial gestures and that kind of stuff that you can use for, like, in-game chat and that kind of. It just feels super gimmicky to me. Like, I don't care. Right? No. It's just one of those things.
It's
like,
cool.
Who
like
is it going to? The tech's fine, but, like, what's the practical application of that?
There's
who's
not,
going to, like, actually want to fire up a game and go, look, I'm Fox McCloud for, you know, 2 seconds? Like, when we were kids, when Star Fox originally came out, I looked it up. Star Fox 64, almost 30 years ago, came out in 97. We're talking about an almost 30-year-old game here that we're remaking. And, like, this would have been super cool tech back then. That would have been fascinating or whatever. But in 2026, we've got a million other ways we can essentially do the same thing. We live in the AI world at this point, you know? Like, it's not something that I'm like, ah, yeah, that's cutting edge. I'm like, that's Nintendo being Nintendo, to your point. But, like, doing something that I don't know that anybody wants. And that's to the point of it being a system seller. And I'm genuinely curious, because we're going to play this. It's Star Fox.
Yeah, we are.
I'm probably going to have a lot of fun with it. But again, I don't mean to keep reharping this, but I think it's important. It is a remake of a 30-year-old game that the, like, first line of, like, what it is based on Star Fox 64 and features a complete visual overhaul that takes advantage. Not a new game based off of this world, but a visual overhaul of a game that's almost 30 years old. And I just don't know that, like, is that very limited, really on rails flight combat gameplay something that's going to be really captivating in 2026 for somebody that doesn't have the heavy nostalgia of it, right?
Okay,
to me, this is a game that's purely for us, because I don't see how you get other people to come into this world with this game.
Well, let me push back on that just a little bit, because you're right. 1,000%. It's a remake. It's Star Fox 64. You're 1,000% right. But when I watched the direct while ago, because I did it 20 minutes before we were supposed to hear, which is a huge mistake, but I was like, I gotta watch this. And the first thing I thought was, holy crap, that looks good. Like, yeah, it looks really good. And I thought what you're thinking, which is, man, if they would make this a new game, this would move some stuff, because it's not obvious that it's a remake in the beginning. Like, I'm like, am I looking at new stuff here? And then you see the old levels, because we've been looking at the levels for 30 years. I'm like, yeah, this is Star Fox 64. And so I will say that it looks really, really good. And the fact that the Switch 2 can do that, like, they should be doing stuff. They, like, if they can do that, why in the world didn't Metroid look better than it did? I mean, Metroid looked good, but it could have been really good. Like, I'm not trying to be a graphics whore. Mm-hmm. I'm not. That's not what I'm really interested in. But obviously, we have the tech to do some really special stuff at this point.
Sure.
And I feel like we need to use it. I feel like Capcom did it with Resident Evil 9. I feel like that was stellar graphically. And at this point, if you're going to remake something, you got to give us something we haven't seen before. I mean, you just do. You can't repackage a 30-year-old game and say, well, here it is, give us $70.
Yes.
And I will say this, we're hypocritical, because you just said it, we're sitting here complaining about this. They're going to get $70 of the show's money.
100%. Like, again,
there's no Game Pass, and right, they know that.
100%. This is where I think they're on the right track, is it's a game for us. But it's also why I question it being a system seller, because I don't know that my daughter will care. She might think it looks cool and want to get into it or whatever. Like, I just don't know. But it just, unless, like, they've done something that they haven't talked about yet that modernizes it in a way that's other than graphics, like, what's the selling point for somebody that doesn't have any nostalgia for Star Fox and is used to games looking really good? Like, it looks great. And again, from a Star Fox perspective, because we've grown up with Star Fox, like, it's like, oh, yeah, that's awesome. That's what I always pictured Star Fox looking like. But, like, if that's not your point of reference, like, it's just another good-looking game. But it's not, like, a great-looking game. Yeah. It's not, like, better than everything else out there. Like, it doesn't match up anywhere close to, like, something like Resident Evil 9. Just pure graphic fidelity. Not that it should. It's Nintendo, and we have those expectations.
And to your point, anybody that plays it new is going to be like, why are they animals and why are they talking? Right. And what, like,
it's like a silly premise and everything else. But to frame this in another way that I'm interested for your thoughts on. So we've got this remake, which I didn't, we knew that there was a Star Fox announcement coming, but we didn't know it was going to be a remake announcement. Or at least I didn't know that. Maybe everybody else knew that, and I was just unaware. But we do know another remake announcement that's almost certainly coming from Nintendo. We've had enough leaks and details and all that kind of stuff at this point to know that's coming, which is Ocarina of Time, that they are doing. And like, that's a different thing than Star Fox. Star Fox is nostalgic and cool, and we love Star Fox. Ocarina of Time, like, for me, I think I could speak for both of us on this. Legit, one of the best games of ever, all time. Like, Star Fox doesn't make my top 50, 100 games, probably, right? Ocarina of Time is right near the top. We need to go back and redo our top game sometime.
Yes,
that's a fun little exercise.
We have people, you know, we have, like, months and months and months of content that we owe you. like if you go look at the website, the stuff that is up there that we did, the top games and all of that, like, they all need to be redone at this point. Yeah. And so, yeah,
I think when we did that before, I had Ocarina of Time as my, like, number two game of all time, or number three. It was right up there near the top. This was granted before Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom came out, and we can revisit that. But all that to say, Ocarina of Time remake seems like it's inevitable, and we should hear about it soon. I am really curious and nervous about how they're going to approach that game. Because if what they're doing with that is also just giving it a visual makeover and keeping it the same as the game that came out 30 years ago, I'm going to be a little less excited. I want, like, Final Fantasy VII has spoiled me on what a remake is, right? Like, when you go in and do something that takes the original game, gives it back to you, but in such a new way that's fresh and interesting, more than just enhanced visuals. Because even if Final Fantasy VII Remake retold the story pretty much beat for beat that the original did, like, it's such a different gameplay mechanism as well, like, it feels modernized. But then on top of that, they also just turned the story on its head. And I don't know how you do that with Ocarina of Time. I don't know that I want you to do that with Ocarina of Time. But a remake of Ocarina of Time needs to be more than just updated visuals, and it plays that came out 30 years ago. And I'm really nervous that Nintendo's just going to put out a game that plays like it did 30 years ago. And that's fine and probably enough for me to revisit Ocarina of Time again because it's a fantastic title. But I just want more because, like, we've seen that you can do more, and Nintendo as a company just isn't prone to do more.
Well, right? I think they're a lot in the same place that a lot of people are, because I'm going to tell you what. Just going back to Mixtape for a second, what got me, what sold me, is, do you realize what's on Slater's shirt?
Huh.
It's a Final Fantasy IX shirt.
Oh.
Like,
he does have great shirts because they change in different scenes or whatever. But I didn't notice the Final Fantasy IX one. That's great.
It's the wizard from Final Fantasy IX with the glowing eyes. And that's what it was. I saw that. Nice. And I was like, oh, that's it. I was like, I just wanted to, like, scream out loud.
Yeah.
So here's the thing about all of this stuff, and the reason that I bring that up is that, no, I don't think it's just a Nintendo at this point. I think everybody is afraid to innovate because we have gotten so used. I say we. I'm talking like we're part of the gaming industry. We're not. I think the industry has gotten so used to making money and scads of money. And the music industry is the same way. Like, if you play People of Note, it talks about the formula for Smolder. It's just a formulaic band, and you work in music, you're part of the Grammy Association, that's a real thing. There is a formula to popular music and making something that sells, and the gaming industry has fallen into that because these people are trying to keep shareholders happy and all the people that are making money, and they're not trying to innovate. And I don't know what the answer is there, but that's why we're getting games like Expedition 33. That's why we're getting some of the smaller titles that are weird and off the beaten path. And the last six games that I've installed, I looked because my desktop is getting cluttered. The last six games that I've installed are those little games off of Game Pass. They're not the big games. They're not Call of Duty or a big AAA something there are these little independent, you know, 20-hour things that somebody made.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that because that's where the new stuff is right now.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And it's what keeps me having hope in the game industry, because the next several set of show notes we're going to talk about, they're going to be like, oh, the game industry sucks right now, yeah. Which has been a theme for a while. But like those kind of games are the things that keep me coming back to gaming going, oh, yeah, gaming's okay. Like we're fine. We're going to make it. Yeah. It's going to look different. All the things that we're used to with gaming are changing. But like just the fact that games are games and are fun, like that's not changing in so much as maybe otherwise you would be led to think by all the other kind of news that's out there about game sales in the industry and on and on and on, which we care about and we're going to talk about more. But like that's the thing that like I'm still hopeful for, is like we're still going to have fun games, and like all these games, like you said, we've been playing, like half the people that play games, more than half the people, most of the people that play games have never heard of any of these, you know. Yeah. Like the gaming industry is just broad and deep, and there's like, on the same note, we haven't heard of so many of the games that other people are playing. Like I'm surprised all the time when there's like this game that's like this massive hit, I'm like, where did that come from? What is that thing? Like, and that just isn't something that happened when we were younger, because the game industry was so much narrower,
small,
and focused.
It was small.
And like, yeah, just
like we
just didn't have that.
We talk about it all the time. When we grew up, you could play everything.
Right. That was worth playing.
You played everything that was worth playing, and it wasn't a struggle to figure out what the next gem was, because you had access to all of it.
Yep.
Now there's no chance.
Yep.
No chance. And that's the thing, is that it has just gotten so much bigger, and there's so much more, and I'm going to use a word that fits. There's so much more writing on the industry than there ever has been, because it was, I don't know that it is after the last couple of months, but for the last couple of years and through COVID and all of that, the gaming industry made mad money. Yeah. Crazy money. And now we're going into a situation where it's sort of uncertain. And, you know, there's lots of news and lots of people on YouTube talking about, I don't know if the gaming industry is going to make it. It might collapse. Well, guess what? I was born in 1979. It collapsed once. Yeah. Like there was a point there where people weren't really sure if there was going to be a gaming industry, because it just died.
Yeah.
And so, As weak as this is, it's not like we haven't seen it before. And if it crashes, it's going to come back as something different. And to your point, it's going to be different than anything that we know.
Yeah, and the game industry looks so different than it did last time it crashed. I just don't think it'll crash in the same way, because it's so, like, that first crash, we had like a handful of consoles, because it was kind of when we saturated, there was so much slop, using that term at that point. But it just wasn't anything compared to what it is today, of the diversification of games and the access to games and all that kind of stuff. Now, does the big console AAA kind of ecosystem, how we understand it today, survive all this? I don't know. But gaming will survive all this. I am as confident about that as I am just about anything. Like, and that's where I always, like, I kind of bristle at this, like, crash idea. Like, it's, what are we talking about crashing at this point? Because the game industry is so massive and different and not unified in a way that it much more was in back then. So all that, we do need to talk about all the things that may lead to a crash really quickly here. One of which is Nintendo increasing the price for the Switch. Switch 2 specifically, which is a huge surprise, and also, like, is it unprecedented at this point, though, like a couple of years ago, this would have been unfathomable. But like everybody else has already increased their prices. Nintendo is announcing that they are going to increase theirs as well. So the Switch is currently $450. It's going to go up to $500 in the U.S. and Europe. This increase will take effect in September 1st, I believe. In Japan, it happens much sooner. So if you're in Japan and listening to us, awesome. Thanks for listening to us. But also go buy that Switch pretty soon if you want to get it under $500. You have until September here in the U.S. to do that. But again, price increases of a console after release are something that just never, ever happened before. But now with memory shortages, with access to GPUs, all the things that we've talked about in the past of why these prices are going up, like this is now affecting Nintendo as well. Nintendo has come out and said that they think this sucks and they're sorry for it. That's all you would expect them to say. And their goal is to make sure that the value proposition also increases. So, yes, you're going to have to pay more, but we want to give you more for what you're paying for. And the way they sell that is by talking about software that is coming, like Star Fox, like a new Splatoon, like a new Yoshi game. I don't know. No. Those are the value increasing things that I need to see, right? No.
So let's talk about system sellers for a second. Because I brought that up.
Yeah.
I'm going to make this real simple. If you want me, a person that does not have a Switch, the show has a Switch that lives at your house.
Yeah.
I don't have a Switch, just like I don't have a PS5 because the PS5 also lives at your house.
Yeah.
Because I can't use a controller. If you want me to purchase one of these, I gotta see some new Zelda.
Yeah.
I gotta see some new Mario.
Yeah.
And to your point, what you said earlier, I have to see some stuff that I haven't seen before.
Yeah.
And I remember way back in the day, 1990 something, where they had that E3 where they showed the grown up Link and Ganon. Remember that?
Yeah.
Remember that? And that how big demo. That was?
Yes.
That. They need to do that. And I'm not talking about that specific thing, but Nintendo needs to do that.
Yeah.
Their games need to come in to this decade.
Yeah. And both visually, yes, which you're doing an okay job with, but also this is where you can't just rely on that 30-year-old remake. But they got to be modern games and gameplay and accessibility and everything else.
Because we talked about that demo for years.
Yeah.
And if I went on Reddit today and reposted that, people still be talking about that.
Yeah.
And that's, if you're Nintendo and you want me to pay $500, that's what I gotta ask.
So let me ask you, what could do, like, just hypothetically, I'm gonna take Zelda off the board for just a second, because I think Nintendo has done that recently within the past 10 years with Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom, right? Like, they remade Zelda in a modern way that blew our minds, and for me is the best two, like, series of games probably ever made. Like, I adore Breath of the Wild, Tears of the Kingdom. Like, yep. I think they're just phenomenal, right? So Nintendo has done that with Zelda. What does that look like sans Zelda for us,
give me,
right?
Like, I'm telling you right now, give me Contra. give me Contra. I know what you're thinking. You're like, Contra, there was no story to Contra back in the day. There was no.
Do something really cool with that. I get that,
but you could do something really cool with that.
Yeah.
You gotta have, like, we already talked about Metroid. Metroid was cool, but Metroid is nowhere near what Metroid should be. Like,
this is the challenge, because it's kind of the same thing with something like Contra. Either you redo it in a new way. Like, one of the reasons that Metroid Prime that just came out was okay, but not fantastic, was that it was a little bit too similar to what had already been done. And so, like, it didn't have the, like, novelty factor that Metroid Prime did when it originally came out. It was a fine game. But it was like, that's what you could do with a game like Contra, a series like that, that hasn't been redone in that way. And you could really like overhaul it and make it something new. But like Metroid, in the same way, like Contra thrives in a format that's not AAA, if that makes sense, right? Like Metroid Dread was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Great game. But like it's a 2D side-scrolling Metroidvania, which is a relatively niche kind of genre, even if it is the defining part of that niche. Like it's still relatively niche. But it was phenomenal, way better than Prime. But like it also has a small audience. I'm trying to, like, Mario is obviously the one. Like, we haven't had a big Mario. We had Mario Odyssey on the Switch that was really cool and interesting and innovative in a new way. Like, you could do something along that lines again.
It needs to be new in the way that Super Mario 3 was new.
What? Or Super Mario 64 or Super Mario Galaxy. Yes. Like, the ones of the franchise that, like, really revolutionized. Not like Super Mario Sunshine or Super Mario Odyssey, which were fine games, but not that, like, crazy reinvention. Can I tell you the one that I don't know that it would be, but I think you could do, like, a kind of more dark, grown-up take on it and make it amazing, is Super Mario RPG. Bring that back, but make it like not like super like M-rated, like whatever, but like make
like
it
PG-13,
like
13, like
yeah, like serious, like because yeah, there was a lot of that in the original Mario RPG. Like it felt like more sophisticated than a Mario game did, right? Because it was an RPG in part, so it just kind of leaned into that anyway. But it did something to that franchise that made you look at that franchise different. Like, you could do that again today, and that might be something. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. Like, I don't have a good answer for this. I don't think it's Star Fox 64 remake. You know?
No,
like, again,
not.
As much as we're absolutely going to play that and think it's cool, like, that's just not it. That's not
okay,
the thing
so,
that they need.
Okay, so can we... Because I thought this was interesting. When I watched the Star Fox Direct thing, they had Miyamoto introduce it, right?
Uh-huh.
So Miyamoto introduced it, he opens his jacket, and he got the shirt on, and then they pitch it to the guy that's actually working on it.
Yeah.
Right? I think what they need, and granted, Miyamoto has done what he... wants to do, and he works with he's kind of like a lot of the old heads now, which is he works when he wants to work, and then you know when he doesn't, he goes and does whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Nintendo needs a visionary. Either they need Miyamoto to come back to work, or they need to find that next guy.
Yeah.
And because Miyamoto. For better or worse, Miyamoto is the person that made Nintendo. All of the franchises that you can think of that have kept Nintendo going for the last nearly 50 years,
right?
Miyamoto has some involvement in, like, he's the Brian Wilson of Nintendo, like he's that guy, right?
Yeah.
And Kojima's in that same vein, like they're just creative
yes.
people, and it's not so much about what could Nintendo do with the franchises that they already have. I don't think Nintendo needs to find a franchise that is new. They need to build a franchise that is new, that has that Nintendo thing.
Yes.
And we know what that Nintendo thing is. It's Miyamoto. It's
yeah.
that, it's that, like, that's what Breath of the Wild was. That's Miyamoto all day.
Yep.
This was the game that he wanted to make.
Yeah.
And he had to wait to get the tech there so that he can make this game. And so it's not about the franchises. It's about a guy. Okay, let me put somebody else in there. Ken Levine is another one. We need more Ken Levines that's like, I want to do this.
Yeah.
And everybody looks at it and goes, that's freaking weird.
Right.
And they're like, we don't care. I'm going to do this and you're going to like it. Yeah. And there's just not enough of that. And
I think there's something to that, that specific to Nintendo, because Nintendo is in some ways built upon a personality in Miyamoto, even if like people don't recognize that as directly, but also it's just a console that is so prone to being identified in this kind of specific way that Nintendo is, and like, kiddie is not the right word for that, right? But like,
it's childlike.
It is like childlike in like the most positive way of saying that, of like it taps into that childlike feeling, which Miyamoto as a person really personifies, even though he's old as heck at this point, right? Mm-hmm. Like he still personifies like that childlikeness. The other systems, PC, like doesn't have that root connection. I think you're right that like, that's needed, and I don't think Miyamoto is the person to carry that torch at this point.
It's a new guy.
Right. But it also, what I love that you said in there, that like really is needed and they won't do because of another point you made earlier, that they're doing everything they can to maximize profits, which is why we see a Star Fox 64 remake as opposed to a new Star Fox game, because they know people will bank on that nostalgia more than something new a lot of times. But we just need something new. We just need something fresh. Like Nintendo has to do something that is utterly Nintendo and isn't Zelda or Mario. Or
I mean, can I just bring up the Wii? Thank you very much.
Yeah.
They can do it.
They can do it. But, man,
it's just a question of whether they want to. I think they did the Wii because they knew they had to. And they may have to get to a point where they go, okay, it's time.
Yeah.
We have to go be Nintendo now.
Yeah. Because which, I mean, the Switch was too. Like, let's not pretend like Nintendo hasn't been killing it in recent history. They have been killing it in recent history, just not the past 2 years or whatever it is.
Right. Like
the Switch, massive deal. Two of the best games of all time, in my opinion, on the Switch. Like, they've done it. They know how to do it. But, like, it has felt stale for recent memory, right? And like, they just is ready for maybe this summer we see something from Nintendo. We go, oh, they still got it. Thank you guys.
But and you,
we don't have it right now.
You pointed it out. Like we've been talking about being in the desert for a month. We're in the desert because whether we're talking about Nintendo or whether we're talking about anywhere else, fuck that, everywhere else. Like I'm waiting for the next Expedition 33.
Yeah.
Like, where is it? Like, that's the last time that I felt it.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to be, I'm going to be real honest. Okay. And I wanted to have this discussion, and we may not have time to fully have it. I love doing this show, right? You love doing this show. We've done it for a very, very long time. And you and I have sort of hinted at the fact that you and me doing this show, as much as we love games, it's not really about the games anymore. It's about us doing this show because we love doing this show and the thing together. So like, I'm not at a point in my life where I am scouring for all the news to see what the next great thing is, and like I'm not there. I'm at a point where I'm old enough where it's like, okay, I've done this for 37 years of my life. Even more than that, I've been playing games since I was 5 years old. Like I'm not going to try and figure out what the next great game is or the next great franchise is. You gotta show me something like Expedition 33 did when I fired it up and sent you that text and was like, you gotta look at this. Like that's what I want. And I feel bad as a co-host of this show that I don't spend 40 hours a month playing all of the stuff that's on Game Pass, because really, that should be part of what I do. But I'm not going to do that.
Sure.
Because if that next thing comes out that is the world-changing thing, I'm not going to have to chase it.
Yeah.
It's going to be obvious. And I'm just curious how you feel about that. Because I don't want any of you guys to understand this. We love games. We love this industry. We love what it has given us. It gave us this show. Right? But I am not a gamer at this point, in the sense that this is what I do. It's my hobby. And I'm going to spend every waking moment that I have on this thing. For crying out loud, I built software this week. I'm not a software person. I've never built software in my life. I'm a kid in a toy store because I've got all these tools, and I'm like, oh, I wonder what if I can see what I can do. Like, I've got other interests, and so do you. And I'm just curious what you think about that, because I really do. I think they have to show us instead of us chasing it.
To an extent, I think I agree. I honestly, I think that's more how it used to be. Like, I think that the...
And maybe that's why I want it.
Right. The way that the gaming industry has become so decentralized and has become such a mass of, like, different experiences, that how you even define a game varies so much now. Like, you kind of have to go and find what you want, because otherwise you're just wandering in a desert, like we've kind of been talking about. And so I think there's something to that. At the same time, I think the brilliance of the modern game industry, and why I prefer where we are today, we've said this every bit of history that we've been doing this show, is that the current era that we are in is the best time to be a gamer. We haven't said those words in a little bit, like especially around like E3 time or E4 time, and E3 not there anymore, but we've used that term a lot. I still think it's probably the best time to be a gamer, though. Like, of all of gaming history, all of our gaming lives, like, right now is probably a better time to be a gamer, even though we're nostalgia for what we loved as kids. Like, there's just so much more diversity in gaming. There's so many more experiences. There's so much more amazing narrative out there, all this kind of stuff. And I think we oftentimes get jaded about it because we've lived in this industry for so long. That, you know, when something pops up that truly intrigues us in a new way, like, it's a big deal, because that's not something that can happen as often, just because we've been doing it for so long and we've kind of seen everything. But, like, there is something that feels kind of virtuous still about having to do the work of finding what you want.
Yeah.
It just is hard. It sucks.
I'm not saying that I am not interested in finding the next great game. I'm saying I'm not going to devote my life to it.
And that's definitely a difference from what we even did at the earlier days of this show, because it's just such a different way that stuff comes about at this point, where we have early access games. There's games that are fantastic. Hades 2 is a fantastic game that you could play for months and months and months before it was actually released, right? Like, that's a weird thing. That's just not how gaming worked, and why you and I, neither one, and I have any interest in early access games.
Nope.
Like, it's not appealing to us, because that's not how gaming works for us. But there is a whole generation of gamers now that are like, yeah, give it to me in its, like, most raw form, and I'll be with you the whole way through and see how it evolves and that kind of stuff. Yeah, not my thing. I'm not going to go find games that way. But a lot of people do, and that's a different experience. It's just so vastly different, and yet still such a great industry that has so much to offer. And if I had to trade out any moment in gaming history, I think I'm still picking right now to be playing games in, right? Like, it just is, like, there's just so much positive that outweighs a lot of the difficulties of finding what you want
and
everything
else. And I want to be really clear before we wrap up. We're going to play games till we die.
For sure.
And we have said that we're going to do the show till we die. And we said on the last show that Logan made a graphic that pretty much personifies that. I think that's pretty accurate.
Yes.
We're going to do this until we die. But I want to be... Okay, let's go back to the childlike thing for a second. I want that childlike feeling. We keep saying nostalgia. It's not nostalgia. I want that thing that makes me go, this is why I love this industry.
Yes.
It's not, I don't want to see something from 40 years ago just so I can reminisce about the good old days. I want to see something that goes, oh, this is why I play games.
And those things can overlap, right? Like, again, to go back to this, because we've mentioned it a couple times now, Breath of the Wild is both. Like, it was both nostalgia because it's Zelda and it still has all the little Zelda like music and tunes and all that kind of stuff when you open a chest, and you know, like, it's nostalgia, but it's also something that's so fresh and so interesting and new and different. And even like, my daughter has played one Zelda game, which is Tears of the Kingdom, and she adores it. Like, that's the only Zelda she's ever been exposed to. She doesn't have that nostalgia that connects with her. Again, maybe Star Fox will do the same thing, but like, I don't know. And like, just, it's obviously not going to be the same thing. Nintendo needs Zelda. They don't need Star Fox to be a system seller, to, again, go back to that term, which in and of itself may not even matter anymore. I don't know that that is an important thing. And one last thing I'm going to get into really quickly here before we wrap up, because it's important, because we've talked about it so much, as even though it happened a long time ago, still worth mentioning very quickly. Game Pass price went down. They reduced the price of Game Pass for us. We complained. They kicked out the leadership and hired new leadership that reduced the price. $23 a month now for Game Pass, as opposed to $30 a month. Still expensive, but less expensive. That's significant. Good job, Microsoft. Let's give them like actual credit for doing something that like matters, and like, were aware that like something happened and like it was bad, and they did that. Not many times do we see the prices of anything go down, even consoles now, which used to be a given. The fact that Game Pass, I can't say that with the price, went down, good on them. Lots of other problems. Microsoft has a long ways to go, but good on them.
Good on them, and I'll give them an attaboy, but I have a different angle. My angle is they're not doing this because they care that us as consumers are upset. They're doing this because they're streaming, all streaming platform that they want to get people on is not ready, and what they are trying to do is keep Game Pass subscribers happy long enough for that to get ready, so that they can move to that, and everybody can, they can make a bazillion dollars because it's all streaming and they don't have to package the digital download and all that. I'll give them an attaboy, but there is some of that Microsoft corporate BS going on in the background. I think it's just my personal opinion. I don't think Asha Sharma came in and was like, this sucks, we gotta change it. I think she came in and she was like, this thing is bleeding like a stuck pig. What's the one thing I can do to make it better so that we can get to this other thing that we need to get to? And that's what they came up with. And so, yeah, I'll give them an attaboy, but I don't think they're doing it because they care that us as gamers were upset.
No, I mean, like, obviously they did this because they think it's in the best interest of their bottom line. They don't do stuff that they don't think is in the best interest of their bottom line. They saw that this was going to cost them in the long run for whatever reason, be it consumer loyalty or immediate people canceling subscriptions or whatever it was. Like, that's easily the reason they're doing it. But it is the fact that people were pissed about it and made a fuss about it and all that kind of stuff that made them go back on it. Like, that's consumer power at work. work, and that's a good thing that we don't always see. Like, consumers get pissed off about legitimate things all the time, and companies don't do stuff like this, sometimes to their benefit, sometimes not. Microsoft did, and so good on them insofar as they're still a massive capitalist corporation trying to make money, and that's what it looks like to do that. So one last thing, because I teased it, Aaron Paul coming to Fallout. Aaron Paul.
Woo!
Right? It's a pretty good one. Don't know what role he's going to play yet. Season 3. What do you think of season 2? Did you finish season 2?
I did. I finished season 2. And you're going to laugh at this, but for several weeks, I kept going back every week wondering if there was a new episode.
I know, I did too.
Because I'm old. I'm old. And I'm like, it took me like a month to realize, oh yeah, they capped it with 8 episodes and it. Yep. Like, I gotta wait for season 3. Because like, I'm like, where's the new episode? Like, I know where they ended, but there's more, right? There's like 2 more episodes. And it did. It took me a full freaking month. To realize what had happened. So I'm an idiot. I'm old. I grew up back in the days where they did 20 something episodes for seasons, and so yeah, I enjoyed season 2. I thought it was nice. I think they could have done more with New Vegas. I think Walton Goggins is amazing. I think what's Lucy's, what's the actor that plays Lucy, I think she's great. I really do. I think they could have done more with Vegas, and I understand why they didn't, because production costs and what they did with Vegas. There's no telling how much money was poured into that to make that happen. I thought it was good. I was fairly impressed. Okay. We don't have time for this, what I'm about to say. So you finished Fallout 4. I have not. And to get it to where I was happy playing it, I chronicled on this show, it took like 20 mods, right? And so now I have this big, nice computer over here, and I'm toying with the fact, do I reinstall Fallout 4?
Yeah.
And play New London and all of that. And I haven't convinced myself to do that because of the hassle that I know it's going to be to get it all set up and get it right. And the 150 gigs worth of space it's going to take to, you know, get everything right. And Duff, you're out there. I know you're listening. This is why I still haven't loaded Starfield, because I know it's going to be a massive undertaking in getting it set up right. And I'm just like, no, it's not that good. It's not worth that time. Fallout 4 is great. But Fallout 4 is also aging. And,
yes.
and I, you know, if I'm going to go back to something, talk about going back to old stuff, I would probably much rather go back to New Vegas or Fallout 3 than I would Fallout 4. I can't tell you why. Probably just because New Vegas is New Vegas.
Sure.
But that's where I'm at. And so, yeah, am I ready for a new Fallout? Yes, I am. But can I tell you something about Mixtape? I looked at the frame rate for Mixtape, and I was getting like 30 frames a second on my graphics card, and that wasn't what alarmed me. What alarmed me was that it was using all of my graphics card, which is something that I saw happened with High on Life. I mean, my graphics card, while I'm running this thing, is running at 100%. And so I kind of dread the fact, as much as we talk about wanting to see new IPs and new software and all of that, I kind of dread the fact that we don't have anywhere near enough graphics card to do something.
I'm pretty really skeptical of that. Like the fact that mixtape isn't maybe as optimized as it should be, but mixtape isn't stressing your graphics card. Like it's just not. Like it is like visual style aside of what it is, but like it's fine. You're fine. Your graphics card is fine for a while longer, right? Like you may not be able to max out the latest thing all the way. You're fine.
I agree 1,000% with what you said because Cyberpunk runs like a dream.
Exactly.
And Cyberpunk is still the bar for what something can look like. So I think CD Projekt Red is the proof.
I got this close to firing it up this week. I really almost did. I covered my mouth over it like,
okay, let me make this deal with you. If you will fire that up, and if you will start playing, I will start playing. Because after this week, I'm going to be home for a couple of weeks, and I can get into something, and I will bet you dinner the next time I see you, that Cyberpunk scratches that.
Right.
I will bet you dinner that you're like, that you fired up and you play for 10 minutes and you're like, yeah.
Yeah. I don't doubt it. That's why I'm hesitant to fire it up because I know it's going to do that. So
like, seriously, if you will wait until Monday and to fire it up, I will play it with you. Because you and I both have a chunk of game left to play.
Yep.
We haven't even really, either one of us hasn't really started Phantom Liberty. I mean, we tinkered with it a little bit, but not really. So if you will do that, I think that's what needs to happen next for us. And I think it'll make you feel better.
I think you're right. I think that's probably the one that we're looking for.
So
all that said, we do have to wrap. I'll mention just really quickly on releases. Mixtape, kind of big one to note there. Saros, am I saying that correct?
Saros,
It's also getting good reviews, and that's exciting.
What's a good review? Like 80 something?
It's 87 on Metacritic right now.
Okay.
And so like not like blowing your mind best game ever kind of reviews, but like solid. And so I believe a little bit of discussion over at the Discord about it. I need to go look because I haven't been on the Discord in a couple of days.
Yeah.
But it feels very much like our Discord's kind of game, right?
Yeah.
Like it very much has that feel to it. And so I'm interested in it and check it out. But like I said, getting decent reviews as well. We're just in a lull. There's not a ton of games coming out right now. But, mixtape, worth noting. Replace also came out since last we talked. A couple others in there. So go check out some new games or go play Cyberpunk, which is currently what we're going
to
do.
Which I have to say... And we got to wrap. But, like, Cyberpunk is so good. You were talking about dreading something. You know what I'm dreading?
Huh.
I'm dreading a new Witcher. Because I'm like... I realize it's a different franchise and different thing altogether. But, like, after you've done something that is as good as Cyberpunk, it's like GTA 6. Like, how do you follow GTA 5?
I mean, like, to be fair, after you've done something as good as The Witcher 3, that takes Cyberpunk out of it. The Witcher 3 is phenomenal. The Witcher 3 is still a better game in my book than Cyberpunk is. Like, The Witcher 3 is so stinking good.
Yeah.
That's... we haven't heard from it for a while, but excited hopefully for Summer Game Fest that we get a little bit more about The Witcher out this year, because I want to see more of it.
I have literal dread. I'm afraid of it because I don't know how you top. Even if you take Cyberpunk out of it, that's two of the best games in the last 40 years.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
Yeah, and you really set yourself up for it. So we'll see. We'll see.
If you would like to chat with us, you can do that. We got the Discord over there. Lots of good guys over there. Lots of conversation over there. I think they sometimes think that we are not paying attention. Believe us, gentlemen, we are. Definitely. We see everything, and we really like what we see over there. So if you would like to be part of a really tight-knit community, that is the Discord. Lots of good guys over there doing lots of good stuff.
Yeah.
While we're not around, yes. they kind of run off and do their own thing, which I really like. Yes. And it's a really cool place to hang out. If you would like to send us a voicemail, you can do that at
509-GAME-210.
It's still working because I called it to make sure that it was still working. So definitely call that and leave us a voicemail. You can send us an email at gaminguncensored@gmail.com. If you are a sponsor and you want to give us money, if you have a business and you want to sponsor a show, we will take your money.
Yeah.
We will take your money. We said at the beginning of the show, we got lots of reasons to take your money. We would like some more money and some more excuse to do this show, really. All of the money that comes to this show goes into this show, and we really need to do this show more for our own personal sanity,
for sure.
Because being an adult is pushing the sanity at this point.
Yes.
So if you would like to sponsor this show, please email us gaminguncensored@gmail.com. Other than that, is there anything else, sir?
No, I think we're good.
All right, I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. And for one more week, we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gaminguncensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.